have some closing remarks.
Dr. Redfield? That was Vice President Mike Pence speaking there. We have been live at the White House as the Coronavirus Task Force meets for the first time and gives us a briefing for the first time in 6 months. This is LBC News. Joining us is our Washington correspondent, Simon Marks. Good evening, Simon.
Hello, Rachel.
So, what do you make of what we've heard so far from this?
Well, it's been like watching the ghosts of Christmas past, hasn't it? I mean, we've seen all of these figures return to the White House podium that we haven't seen for weeks and weeks and weeks, including, of course, Dr. Anthony Fauci, Dr. Deborah Birx. There is suddenly no sign whatsoever of President Trump's favourite doctor, Dr. Scott Atlas, who appears to have disappeared without trace after encouraging the people of Michigan to rise up against new COVID-19 restrictions that were being imposed by the governor there, Gretchen Whitmer. I mean, to listen to the way Mike Pence tells everything, the country has never been better prepared to deal with the catastrophe that is now engulfing states from coast to coast. He insists that within 24 hours of a vaccine or possibly two vaccines being approved for use by the Food and Drug Administration here, the military will be in a position to get vaccines distributed and inoculations of American people will begin. As many as 10 million doses will be administered, he argued, by the end of the year, focused, of course, on high-risk populations initially. But, you know, there are massive questions to be asked of the vice president and the others at this podium. It's very unclear at the moment as to whether they're going to take questions at the end of this. The key question on the minds of every single reporter in the briefing room is, where's President Trump? We haven't seen him for days. His last public appearance was last Friday at the White House, where he was talking about vaccine development. He's made no public appearances whatsoever this week. He has done nothing to commemorate the moment when the death toll in the United States from the pandemic rose above 250,000. That came within the course of the last 24 hours. He has taken to Twitter simply to insist that vaccines are coming and that therapeutics that are currently available are able to drive the fatality rates down. But the reality is this country is in the grip of a major COVID-19 crisis now. The vice president was talking there about the need to keep schools open. Well, schools are closing all over the country. Up in New York City, they closed the public school system yesterday. I can tell you here in Washington, there have been cases of schools that had just reopened now today deciding to close after COVID-19 outbreaks on their campuses. There are massive questions about whether this task force now itself has any credibility left with the American public. Dr. Deborah Birx, I mean, we literally haven't seen hide nor hair of her for about 3 months, and suddenly she's back at the podium with her slides and her data sets. But how can the American public possibly be sure that she won't disappear again once this briefing is over and be replaced by another dissident scientist cut from the same cloth as Dr. Scott Atlas? So I don't think that this is doing very much if it's intended to try and make Americans feel confident that this administration has got a firm grip over the situation. And I think it's also important to underscore, we have heard more in this briefing about the administration's plan for vaccine distribution than the Biden transition team has heard from Donald Trump's government, because Joe Biden still has not been cleared by the General Services Administration here so that the formal process of transition can begin. There is no outreach underway whatsoever by the Department of Health and Human Services here or the Pentagon to brief the president-elect and the vice president-elect about the vaccine distribution plan. No contact whatsoever. And I think it's also important to underscore that only yesterday, President Trump's press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany, of many of the measures that these public health officials are encouraging Americans to take, including wearing face masks indoors, not congregating over the Thanksgiving holiday, even indoors with larger groups of between 6 and 10 people, depending on where you are in the country. Yesterday, Kayleigh McEnany, the president's own press secretary, described those measures as Orwellian and insisted that they are not the American way. Americans, she said, are perfectly capable of looking after their health themselves. Well, 250,000 COVID-19 deaths and 11.5 million infections in the United States would suggest that, in fact, that is very much not the case. So, you know, this is a briefing that it's kabuki, frankly. And I mean, it just raises more questions than I suspect Mike Pence is going to stick around when this is over to answer.
And of course, we were in Wilmington in Delaware just beforehand to hear from President-elect Joe Biden, him saying that he's not ruling out taking legal action against Donald Trump and calling him the most irresponsible president that we've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very interesting presentation that by the president-elect, who had held a meeting with 10 governors, Republicans and Democrats from across the country, and who insisted once again that he thinks he can build some kind of bipartisan consensus by reaching out across the aisle and persuading Republicans to work with him. And so he was asked by a couple of reporters why he's not taking legal action to force the head of the General Services Administration here, this Trump appointee, Emily Murphy, who at the stroke of a pen, quite literally, can resolve this kind of standoff between the White House and the Trump transition team. She can literally authorize government departments with a signature to begin reaching out to the Biden team. He says he's not going to take that action legally because it would be slow to have an impact, and he believes that by talking to Republicans up on Capitol Hill and other Republicans that he knows, he can circumvent what he characterized as President Trump's breathtaking irresponsibility by refusing even to acknowledge that the election is over and that he lost it. I mean, the difficulty with Joe Biden's approach to this, and it may well prove to be the difficulty with Joe Biden's presidency once it gets underway, is that it's rooted in this era of Joe Biden having spent four decades here and, you know, saying that he knows how to work the clubby rooms of Capitol Hill and he knows how to twist Republican arms. It's not clear that that Republican Party exists anymore. And, you know, we have not seen a single Republican yet break lockstep with President Trump. There's not a Republican member of the cabinet who has even acknowledged publicly that Joe Biden is the president elect. And I think there will be many Democrats out there who wonder if Joe Biden is putting too much faith in his own ability to try and work the room, as it were, with the Republicans and persuade them suddenly to recognize that, you know, the king is dead, long live the new king, and we can work together with Joe Biden in a very positive way for the American people. I mean, that just doesn't feel like it is reflective of the polarization that exists in this city and in American politics today.
Excellent analysis, as always. Thank you very much, Simon Marks, our Washington correspondent there. Well, I'm Rachel Gerrish. This is LBC News.